Yeah, here we go!
2 hours are not enough.
And that'll do it for regulation.
Welcome to the fifth quarter, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Take this one to overtime.
Russo and Rizzo bring you the stories, the takes, and the breakdowns that go beyond the final whistle. We head into overtime. The fifth quarter starts now.
The fifth quarter presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez, we're still with you. We're at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. We got you covered for the next hour leading up until Monday night football tonight. You get a doubleheader, these stupid Monday night doubleheader games.
Yeah, we don't need it.
We don't need two games. The sports fan over the weekend had plenty to watch. We don't need over, and I like it better. Thank God it's not 7 o'clock and 10 o'clock. It's 7:15, 8:15 Eastern time, which is fine. But as somebody who, you know, you spend your whole weekend, you got good Friday night baseball because you go from FSU into the TCU Arizona State game, which was good at the end of the game. And then you go and you got Ryder Cup in the morning on Saturday, and you get college football all night and baseball second to last day of the regular season. You do the same thing Sunday. We don't need marathon watching the third day in a row or the fourth day in a row. But I am excited that not only to see the Dolphins, but to see if they could get into the win column. We get the battle of the winless between the Jets and the Dolphins. Hard Rock Bet is your place to be because you got two games tonight. You got the Major League Baseball postseason starting up tomorrow with Wild Card Week. So it starts from 1. It's going to take you up until 10 p.m. So you get so much to watch there. And on the app, if you sign up and bet just $5 on the app, if you win that $5 bet, you get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Also, refer a friend. You get $50 in bonus bets on top of that. Boom. There is an avenue just to get $200 basically without doing anything. All you can do is win that first $5 bet. Don't bet blind. Bet smart. Use their stats hub. Figure out where the money is, where the lines are shifting, where the money, where people have their money on. Check out the Discover page. See what other users are putting together in terms of parlays, what profit boosts and promo boosts. Get 10% additional. Bet the future season by season. The Major League Baseball season is over, and you get your futures bets back. If it's much more rewarding when you do it that way, in my opinion. So you could have some fun and put together a couple futures bets. But that's all on the app. Go get started today. It's on the App Store, the Google Play Store. It's offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus. Physically present in Florida. The wager. Terms and conditions apply. Concerted by gambling, call 1-888-MEDIT. All right, we'll get into the games tonight a little later on. But to circle back to what we watched yesterday, that Tampa Bay Buccaneer-Eagle game, you know, Jalen Hurts did not even complete a pass in the second half.
It's the Chiefs all over. Like, they are the new Kansas City Chiefs.
Right, and the thing is, it doesn't bother me because he threw for 200 yards in the second half last week.
The fake tush-push.
Fine.
But we're against the play.
Well, the play's not going anywhere, but they're allowed to do it. Like,
I have an issue with it just because it's like, and granted, folks, for those of you that have maybe listened to the show before, like, I was for the tush-push. Let's get that abundantly clear. But after watching how they don't police it, the penalties that should be called, I'm all done with the tush-push. And then yesterday, for them to run fake tush-pushes, or whatever, it's so Eagles and it's so Sirianni. To Colin's credit, they did not complete a pass and won the game. And Baker,
they were up 24-3 at a certain point.
Baker had a chance again at the end of the game to tie this time. Ultimately came up a little bit short. I'm still high on Tampa Bay. My ticket of the money line for Tampa Bay plus 185 did not hit yesterday, but I think both teams are good. I think both teams are missing some pieces. I think both teams are a little hurt at this point, but I think you could see that rematch coming up in the playoffs maybe at some point later on in the year. And the Eagles finally won that game, right? They could never
win
there.
They get the monkey off their back with them, yeah.
They could never beat Tampa Bay. They can never win there. They finally beat them. It was one of the better games of Sunday, but I mean, didn't complete a pass and you win the game?
Well, here's the thing. To flip
in the second half.
I agree. You can flip it on Tampa Bay, too, because Tampa Bay has kind of lived their life this season sort of on the edge and waiting to the last possible second to get back and close out the game. And they did sort of the same where they started out really flat against the Eagles and too little too late when it's 24-3 against a really good team. I understand you had opportunities, but you can't expect that come from behind unbelievable drive every single week because you're just flirting with losing too much. Yeah. And you're going to get burned eventually. That was my initial takeaway watching that game.
We think.
You get burned.
They're going to get away with it all season.
Right. But that's on the Tampa Bay side. And the Eagles, on the other end, you know, they're very capable of winning
That's
in a lot of different ways.
That's what I mean, was talking
right.
about.
Right. And defensively, it's secondary-wise, they made a lot of big plays. It was a couple fluke blown coverages that got Tampa Bay back into the game. But a very entertaining game. And the Eagles once again show they can do whatever they want. I don't care how Jalen Hurts looks, if he has a bad second half or if they can't throw the ball or whatever it might be. It doesn't matter to me because all they do is win. All they do is win. At a certain point, we're going to have to shut up about the stats of it all. All they do is win. At a certain time, if we could do this, we could play the game when a team is, you know, winning two of their every three. When you win every single week, we got to take a pause on critiquing individual performances because this is what they do every single week.
Yeah, and didn't even run for 100 yards, by the way. 88 yards on the ground and a 112 through the air.
Because they had a number of defensive turnovers, gosh. And they put them in a good spot, and the Eagles' defense always plays well in a big spot. I mean, that's exactly what you'd expect.
Yeah, Baker on the flip side. I mean, 289 for Baker, 104 on the ground for Tampa Bay. The game made no sense, but to Colin's credit, defense wins championships, and that's exactly what the Eagles have, and they have an offense that gets the job done. I could sit here and complain about the fake tush pushes and how I think it's ridiculous, but it's a part of the game. They didn't ban the play. Nick Sirianni and then the Eagles and the coordinators are taking advantage of it. Fair play to them, and it's gotten them to 4-0 to this point and also 2-0 in the division already.
And the Eagles have a tough schedule starting out 4-0. They're already in a great position, and the Giants, Cowboys, and Commanders – the Commanders lost yesterday without Jaden. They should have Jaden Daniels back next week, but now all eyes are sort of on who's going to be that second place in that division. Is it going to be Washington? Dallas, I know they had the tie to their name, which can help in division races. That's actually where it does help when it gets down to it. It doesn't necessarily help for overs, but it does help when you're trying to win the division because it's less than a loss.
Folks, Colin took the over with the Green Bay Packers for their good friends at Hard
what
Rock
a waste
Bet.
Of time.
And he did not get the best odds because he waited until after the Micah Parsons trade.
Well, it should be 9.5. It should be 9.5, and I got burned with 10.5.
Too late.
A self-inflicted wound.
Too late, buddy.
Too late, and I need the Broncos to win tonight to get to 2-2. If they get 2-2, I should be all right. But the Eagles, just to look ahead for them a little bit, they got the Broncos at home next week, and then after that, they have a short week at the Giants. Well, that's going to be Jackson Dart's third career game on a short week. That's not going to be an easy situation. Then they got at the Vikings, Giants again. So that next 4 weeks, this team could very well be 8-0 before they go into that Packer game on Monday Night Football in about a month and a half.
And you mentioned the Vikings. God, did they lay an egg in
yeah, they got back into the game. They had a chance, but I mean,
Jefferson looked good finally.
It's just,
but
Pittsburgh blitzed them a little bit.
Yeah, and how about Rodgers ripping a smelling salt and throwing that 60-yard touchdown?
Awesome.
Is that not American football in two sentences? Ripping
a
smelling salt?
Did you hear about the guy
salt?
That jumped?
I was going to bring
the
it up
backup
during the
quarterback Skylar Thompson getting jumped in Dublin like the night before the game.
Who's this guy? I can't do an Irish accent. I can't.
That's not even close. Yeah.
It was like a New York accent. But regardless, God, he walked into the wrong pub. Like, did he?
The pub's usually where you're.
Were
safe.
They watching rugby?
You're good in the pubs. I've been to Dublin. You're usually fine there.
Did he bet on the wrong rugby game when he was there?
No idea. That's very bizarre. And I've been to Dublin twice, and I love the downtown. Maybe it's I didn't realize it was dangerous.
I don't want to make light of this because the poor guy did get literally.
He
mugged,
said he's okay, and he said he's okay. He suited up for the game. He said he was all right, but I mean, geez, I mean that's. Stupid. It seems like such an avoidable problem.
Where are the constables?
I mean,
where's the police department?
Right, you think they'd have people protecting the team.
It's a law enforcer. How is he just able to...
Where are you wandering? Things, you're not wandering to the outskirts of the city. You're not... He's definitely in the center part of everything.
Got involved in the wrong crowd while he was there, but very odd. I almost brought up during the 5-5, but... we had Jonathan Zaslow coming up. I decided on Zaz Pilates instead of Skylar Thompson getting mugged.
Getting mugged in Dublin.
First
game in Dublin in some time. How about that? I think Dublin's a great city, too. That'd be a city you'd like. Because it's very, very friendly. It doesn't matter if you're Italian. Irish people are very welcoming. You'd actually enjoy it quite a bit.
Yeah, it's so funny you say that. I mean, Colin, all my friends growing up were Mullally, Miller. Who am I kidding? I love the Irish.
McDonough, Brendan's, and
who
Connors.
Who am I kidding? Colin, Cleveland really is an Italian and Irish Catholic city. I mean, my guy, who am I kidding? I love the Murrays. Those are my people.
Right. It really is a great city. I would say that that's got to be on the list. Damien, have you been to, Damien Perez, our producer behind the glass, have you been to Ireland in any sense? Have you been to Europe, by the way?
I have not. Actually, I have not been to Europe. That's actually on my bucket list.
Dublin should be high on the list if you ever go to Europe.
It's disgraceful. I've never been out of the country, boys. Now, you've been home to Uruguayo,
yeah.
Right?
I've been to South America multiple times, Central America a few, but Never Europe.
Now, explain Uruguayo to Colin, by the way, because I said Uruguayan, but that's not how you pronounce it.
So, for where I'm from, we have a different way of pronouncing the Ys. In every, like, probably 80% of Latin American countries, you pronounce the Ys like yellow. Like,
yeah.
But in Uruguay, it's a sh. So, Uruguayo. Instead of Uruguayo, like every other Latin
country. Wow. Uruguayo. Is that specific to Uruguay?
Yes. Only Uruguay and Argentina have that accent.
Okay.
Everywhere else, it's yo.
But yeah, someone like tried correcting me, and I'm like, no, I know an Uruguayo, man, and it's Uruguayo.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep,
how about that? Yeah. I mean, that's what they say about people who learn Spanish in Spain comparatively to learning it
right.
Somewhere in South America.
Spain is very, very different.
Very
from,
different.
From
very
South American
very
Spanish.
Much like buttoned up comparatively. Yep. It's different.
It's formal.
Correct. That's a good way
formal.
Of putting it. That's
yeah.
a good way.
I might have failed Spanish, but I remember that from Miss Sansevera. It's formal.
Right. But if there is a place that you'd want to go, if you wanted to ever go for a game, Wisconsin's playing in Dublin in 2 years, the opening game, the Farmageddon game.
You're going to go?
I'll go to that. That would be like, I'll spend a week
you
in
and the
Ireland.
Boys.
I'll
yeah.
spend a week in Ireland and like turn it.
Now,
like
you going to wear Wisconsin gear?
No. I forget who they're playing. They're playing Pitt. So we'll see.
Might win.
I'll find the Pitt fans and I'll go hang out with the Pitt
you
fans.
You might win.
Not going to win that game. 2027 opener. I'll tell you right now, Wisconsin is not winning that game. All right?
Come on, Colin.
There it is. Not a Wisconsin. I mean, you know they got the...
It's your
you know
alma
that's
mater.
You know that's big noon this weekend? Wisconsin, Michigan?
Stop it.
Yeah.
In the big house?
In the big house.
Oh, my God.
That's going to be 62-7.
Michigan doesn't really have an offense, but they got a great defense.
It doesn't matter.
They got a great defense. How about this?
Matter.
Let me adjust your score. 35 to about 7. I think 35, 40-ish, 35-7.
Big noon, all the guys trying to hype up the
See
game.
What Barry Alvarez said, by the way?
I sure I know did. I'm on late ESPN, on this. On ESPN Madison,
I'm
on
late,
our sister
I'm,
station.
I'm late on this. He was yelling at fans for booing at halftime.
Yeah, he says they're spoiled rotten Wisconsin fans because they booed the team at halftime.
All right, I'll listen to me, a Buckeye man, being spoiled rotten because I am. How exactly are Wisconsin football fans spoiled?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's
Barry was dead wrong.
It was 27-3.
He was dead
and the
wrong
fans
there.
Are booing. And Barry Alvarez, who was the former great coach for Wisconsin, was the athletic director who sort of handed down the next generation.
And then called Spade. Spade helped out this company, Good Karma Brands, you know, when we just first got off the ground with Craig Karmazin.
He
right?
was, yeah, he's dead wrong.
He's a great guy, but he was dead wrong.
Dead
I mean,
wrong.
Spoiled Wisconsin fan.
Dead
what?
Wrong. Dead wrong. Dead wrong.
Maybe spoiled Packer fan, but Badger fan? What?
Like, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Made no sense to me, but.
I love when they say that. They're so big on, you know, the respect of it all, and you just got to win or lose, have a smile on your face. It's
oh,
pathetic.
God.
It's pathetic.
It's that, dude. That's
it's
that.
Pathetic. It's a pathetic
win
university.
Win or lose, have a smile.
It's along the lines. They don't say it like that, but yeah, it's along the lines of that.
Oh, God. I'm cut from a different cloth.
Why
bro.
Do you think? Why do you wow. think I? Why do you think I take such joy in ripping on them every
you
chance
think
I get?
You think I would have been smiling, Damien? You do Saturday morning with me every. You two know me pretty well. You guys think I would have been smiling if the Buckeyes dropped that game
That's
against Washington?
Actually, what I was thinking about with how critical Mike is of his teams and
he's
like
got
how
different expectation of his
is.
Team. I don't necessarily have an expectation
so
with the
man.
Team.
You
I
would
told
get
Mike
kicked
this,
out of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I'd be banned.
I told Mike my expectation coming into the year. I said the team is going to stink, and they got the terrible schedule on top of that, and they would be lucky to be favored in a game past October. And the truth is they're not going to be favored in a game past October.
Correct.
So. That's
Correct.
Right.
And you can bet on that downfall with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet.
There you go. On Hard Rock Bet, just bet against Wisconsin week in and week out. You're going to be a rich, rich man. But we got to get into some of the best underdogs, which we'll get into on the other side of things. We got to get into the Monday Night Football games tonight. But to finish off on the college slate from last week, LSU Ole Miss, we didn't necessarily talk about.
No. And
now,
after
they beat Florida, Brian Kelly went after reporters, the head coach of LSU, and said, hold on, winning is winning. We won the game. You know, that we didn't score that much. They scored 20 points to 10. They only scored 13 points offensively. Then they went out and did it again against Ole Miss. Keep in mind, the same Ole Miss team that gave up about 35 points to Arkansas,
Kentucky.
Who just
yeah.
fired their coach after losing 51-13 to Notre Dame. So transitive yeah. property all throughout that, if you'd like. But LSU now has major, major problems losing that game in that fashion, scoring the amount of points.
And offensively, Kyle, you hit the nail on the head. Nussmeier was a Heisman Trophy candidate heading into the year. He's been poor. The running game, what running game? They couldn't establish anything all season long, I could argue. And Kyle, the Clemson win and the Florida win, it doesn't look good anymore. Those teams stink. So I'm interested to see how far they drop in the AP poll. I apologize if it did come out today.
It did.
I'm assuming that there'd be like 12 or 14.
Yeah, they're 13.
Okay, how about that? But
and Ole Miss hopped up to all the way to 4.
They're in some trouble. They're in some trouble, I think, with an SEC schedule. They got to play Alabama, obviously. So was very surprised that the 19 points was the number they put up. I thought that they got right. Kyle, I know you don't necessarily put stock into the godforsaken states that they play, but they finally put up over 50 points in one of those games. I thought that they would at least be able to go toe-for-toe with Ole Miss, maybe 35-34 score. Now, give LSU's defense credit, 24 points from Ole Miss. You know, Lane Kiffin, offensive guy, pretty good. But if you're not going to put points, I always say 25 and under, Kyle. I don't care if it's college. I don't care if it's NFL or high school. If you hold a team to 25 and under, pretty good day defensively. But if you're not going to put up points and you're supposedly one of the top teams in the country and a Heisman Trophy candidate quarterback, I can't take that serious. Drew Aller, Garrett Nussmeier, and Klubnik. Three guys who are kind of floated around for Heisman Trophy this year, they've been non-existent.
Yeah,
they've been non-existent.
And it's funny because LSU, the score was 24-19 final score Ole Miss over LSU. The score was a lot closer than the game was. I mean, Ole Miss was driving at will basically every single drive. They couldn't convert in the red zone a number of different times. But they had, that was their second string quarterback playing too. He's probably going to be their starter from here on out, Trinidad Chambliss. But that was a guy who played FCS last year, and he was he's a good athlete. He's good on the run. He's good moving the ball with his legs, and they were able to beat them. So Ole Miss now, all eyes are on them because Lane Kiffin has those guys ready to play. Now, they have a tough schedule. They obviously, it's going to be a gauntlet. I anticipate all these SEC teams to lose more than once because that's just going to be the nature of the conference. LSU is going to catch a team here. South Carolina is going to catch a team there. Ole Miss is going to get caught here. Tennessee is going to catch a team there. Like, it's just going to happen back and forth. And Tennessee got lucky, too, because they just played at Mississippi State, and they barely escaped that game 41-34. So there was another opportunity there for another drop in the SEC. That's just going to be a gauntlet. What we thought the SEC was overrated maybe last year, I'm starting to be on the other side of things, that the SEC is better last year. I mean, better this year than they were last year substantially.
The top heavy of the Big Ten outside of Ohio State, is it so top heavy this year? Penn State, bad loss. I understand Oregon beat them. Fair play, they're in the Big Ten. I'm still not sold on Oregon, though. I think they are a step back from last year's team. And Michigan, you know, they lost to Oklahoma and have a young quarterback who is thrown for under 200 yards 3 out of the 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, the SEC's having a better year than the Big Ten.
They are.
So far.
And the Big Ten, you're banking on Ohio State being that team for you this year. But to Colin's credit, man, there are about 4 or 5 SEC teams that could go to the college football playoff.
That's a loan right now. They got A&M who's good. I mean, Ole Miss is good. Missouri is underratedly good. Alabama, Vanderbilt, Georgia, Tennessee. All these teams are dangerous. And that's not even including Texas.
Right.
So, I mean, there's going to be that's why it's going to be a bloodbath. That's why it's going to be really tricky to find 4 or 5 teams to make that final 12. That's why the conference schedule is going to be so much fun.
And even the Mississippi State. How about Mississippi State giving Tennessee a game?
And they've been good all year.
They gave Tennessee a game.
Jeff Lebby, they've been good all year.
I mean, it's just, we've seen fantastic football. And listen, it kills me to say. That's why I say it was a bad weekend for me, number one, betting-wise, with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. But number two, Penn State looking as poor as they did. I mean, the Big Ten really is struggling right now for those top-heavy teams that we thought before the year, like the Penn States and whatnot. You really are just, and as a Buckeye
USC's,
fan, I love it.
USC's pretty good. USC's pretty good.
But they lost Illinois.
Yeah, I know, but Illinois coming off that terrible loss. I mean, Illinois, that was going
to
be
63-10, Kyle. Yeah, 53 points,
exactly,
bro.
Why that would have been a really tough game to win, because teams respond well after a bad loss like that. And USC had them. You know, they shouldn't have been in the game. They got fortunate with a fumble in the end zone in the fourth quarter. But, I mean, they were right there. Illinois was able to win the game at the end. So I give Illinois credit, but I do think USC is underrated.
Hear me out on this. The meddling teams in the Big Ten are better this year. I think
Indiana's better than they were last year.
I mean, Indiana, Illinois, I even think Washington. I know they got held to 6 points, but that game could have easily been worse.
Yeah, you know, Rutgers is bad, but they're not as bad as they were last year. Wisconsin's terrible. Northwestern's bad.
Purdue's bad. Yeah. But, like, the depth is getting better. The issue is that the top-heavy teams that you had last year, you want to know what the issue is? And then we're going to go to timeout because I know you're not going to want to hear it. Michigan's the issue. They're supposed to be this top-notch program, and you know, they're almost losing to Nebraska on the road. They already lost to Oklahoma, and that quarterback they're paying $10 million for.
They got one loss. The season's not over.
But you get what I'm saying. They need to be a powerhouse, and they're not.
They got a true freshman starting at quarterback, and they need to. They just had their coach. They lost their coach for two games. I understand what you're saying. They're not as good as – they're not –
it's 2023.
Yet. They're not amazing yet.
We need them to be 2023.
They're not amazing yet. Hold on.
You're a Big Ten man.
Fine.
But you're a Big Ten man as well.
Wisconsin stinks. But
this is your conference. You should have some pride.
I don't have the pride in the conference thing like you do.
Why?
I try to watch the games objectively team by team.
Big Ten Mike and Big Ten Colin. What are we doing here?
Weirdly enough, I have a little bit of an underdog complex with the ACC.
What do you mean? You have no allegiance to the ACC.
None, but it's fun because it's fun seeing
and
the ACC.
And you should hate the SEC because they didn't let you in. Bama didn't, or who was it, Georgia? That godforsaken school told you no.
Fine. But I think the ACC school has got that little bit of an underdog mentality. So I do favor that side. But, I mean, I don't necessarily have the Big Ten favoritism because I think a lot of the Big Ten teams are unwilling to change, at least, you know. Iowa's fun. Iowa should never change. Everybody else, it's open season. You could, if Wisconsin, they don't need to be what the Wisconsin was. They just need to get better at football. But I mean, all the PJ Flecks of the world in the Big Ten, I think it's a little too
Let me push back to, but what about Ohio State then?
Ohio State's fine. Okay. Ohio State's great. I mean, that's different. I mean, they're at a different level comparatively to everybody else. Michigan was unafraid to change, and they were able to figure it out.
Well, they cheated and then ultimately turned that momentum into a championship, but fair play to them.
Penn State has always been Penn State. They'll never change. You know, Oregon, you got to give them credit because they've been willing to change. Washington, when Washington was really good with DeBoer starting as the head coach, I mean, they were not afraid to make changes.
It's really Ohio State and Oregon right now, right?
In the Big Ten,
that's
probably.
That's it right now. And in the SEC, 5-6 schools.
Well, Indiana, the jury's still out in Indiana.
Well, Indiana, how about this? I'll accept Indiana at the table if they beat Penn State in Beaver Stadium.
That's a tall task, but yes.
With that offense that I saw Drew Aller running,
I think
Illinois could go in there and get a win.
It's a tall task, but I understand. I do understand. I see what you're saying. We'll do some of our best bets on Monday and some of the best underdog picks that we could have taken over the weekend. That's Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez, Colin Russo, Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
The buzzer sounded, but the battle isn't over.
Oh, man, that hurts. I'd rather have my leg amputated than that.
This is the fifth quarter, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Doubleheader on Monday Night Football tonight. You can get started over on the Hard Rock Bet app and download it now on the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. Hard Rock Bet, if you go on the app, you bet $5 on your first bet. You win that first bet. You get $150 in bonus bets immediately. On top of that, refer a friend. Get $50 additionally on top of that. Then you got $200 to play with Wild Card Week here and a good college football slate this weekend. You get the NFL with two today and then one good one on Thursday. With the 49ers and the Rams. You got all that in one spot, and you could bet, parlay it all together, go game by game, go live, go player by player. It's all on the app along top of the promo boosts and profit boosts that they offer. It's Hard Rock Bet. Try it today. It's offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21+, physically present in for the wager. Terms and conditions apply. Considered by gambling, call 1-888-MEDIC. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez. The fifth quarter presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3. Well, we had a big underdog weekend and a lot of things to choose from. Let's go through it. Let's figure out what bet we could have made and made a ton of money on the Hard Rock Bet app. Let's do the underdog of the week. All right, how this works. We are going to go through and figure out five games that we could have parlayed if we were smart. And we would have made some big-time money on that. Mike and I thought that the Carolina Panthers would be that big underdog this weekend. And lo and behold, they benched Bryce Young at the end of the game, fourth quarter, down 40 points.
How did I get conned into agreeing with that?
I don't.
What in the hell?
You were in on it. That was the rare game that you were like completely full on.
I was. And I knew we were in trouble, Colin. You've met my Uncle Patrick, boss the guy. It's like my second father. He was at the game, and when Uncle P goes, they never lose. I'm like, all right, well, we're going to lose this bet.
It's funny because they started out 6-0, too, and then they give up 42 straight points.
So let me get this straight. in the first 4 weeks of the NFL season, Colin and I have somehow, some way, found ourselves on the wrong end of the blowout. Week one, all right, Indianapolis blew out the Dolphins 33-8. Colin and I were on the Dolphins. Fast forward to week two. Who did we take? The Bears? Yeah, we thought the Bears would be in the game. They lost to the Lions 52-21, 31 points. Go to week three. Where somehow, some way, I let Colin take Jake Browning and the Bengals on the road. They lost 48-10.
That was a bad one. That was the worst one.
And then collectively, all these were collectively except week three, but collectively this past week, we decided to take the Panthers.
You'd think 30-0 over the Falcons would invigorate something. Boy,
you should take that ticket you have, that over. What's the over-under win total?
I need them to go at 7 games.
Put a lighter to it. Burn that
thing. We're not dead yet.
Oh, you are dead. My friend, you are not dead. You are a skeleton.
Their next 3 games, Dolphins, Cowboys, Jets.
You are a skeleton.
Mike, we need 2 out of 3.
You were dead wrong about Bryce Young, too, all those weeks, all those months back,
brother. Well, that's fine. I agree. The second go-round, they're not benching him throughout the week. They just benched him in the game.
I know.
But the second go-round of benching him, this is not going to work. All right? You can't do it twice. The first time, you know, doomed youth is... It's got some romanticism to it, not doomed 30-year vet.
Kyle, I didn't mean to go on that rant, but we also make picks with the thing. You know,
Mike, hold on a second.
But, Colin, it's like we're always on the blowout our picks.
The next 7 games?
Stop it.
Panthers got the Dolphins, the Cowboys, the Jets, Bills, Packers lose, and then they play the Saints and the Falcons, who they always beat.
Colin.
Mike, we're not dead.
Colin.
We're not dead.
I didn't take the over on that godforsaken team. You did. I was on them for a week. I Damien, you know what? You know from Saturday Tailgate, I was saying, I am never againing. I'm pulling my old man. I'm never againing the Carolina Panthers on this show. We are never taking the Panthers in any capacity on this show.
They're not dead.
Ever again.
They're not dead. Sorry. That over is not dead.
Sorry to go on that little rant, but somehow, someway, Colin and I know how to be on a team that loses by 30 week in and week out.
Let's put a couple teams together. Let's start with the Florida State game last week. Virginia was a big underdog in that one to win outright. They were plus 225. So let's add that to the potential parlay that we could have placed. That is number one. Number two, what do you think? Alabama here? You could go in a couple different directions because if we were to add another one to the pick.
UVA.
We did UVA.
Okay.
That was the Florida State game.
The Bears. Bears, Giants,
all right, you
want
to go? Let's go to the NFL then. All right. Yeah. If we did just one college game, we could do UVA. Giants is a big underdog against the Chargers, even at home. That team was plus 220 right in that game. Add that to the parlay. That would have been a big one. I don't know. I don't think I would have ever bet that.
I mean, rookie quarterback,
I would have never bet that.
That's a game you stay away from. You know what I'm saying?
Bears to win outright in their game, plus 120 as well. At the Raiders, 125-24, a game that usually the Bears do not win. So a big come from behind opportunity for them there. And I think you got to add one more because the other underdogs, Jacksonville Jaguars in Santa Clara was plus 145. So plus 145, there's 4 games right there that if we parlayed together, Damien, the odds would have been what?
Plus 550. So 10 would have won you $550.
Oh, God. What were we thinking? We were on the godforsaken Panthers instead of all
those teams. We
were on the Jags. Give us credit.
We were on the Jags. And you know what? If I had to make a bet, I probably would have taken Chicago. I didn't like that game to begin with. And that Charger game, the Chargers had every opportunity to win that game. Giants defense just showed up every single drive. Got to give them a lot of credit.
It's one game. I'm not sitting here, saying you were wrong or anything, partner, but has anything changed with you and Dart?
I mean, at this point, I've made my peace with the fact that this is it. And the fact that he doesn't have his number one receiver and he got hit about 16 times in the first game makes me very nervous.
He's got a slide. Brother, slide. Down.
10 carries, 6 sacks.
Kyle.
That's very nerve-wracking.
Down. Go but, down.
You know, he played he was fine. He was new. And that's why he invigorated the team a little bit. You could tell they were excited to get somebody different out there. The defense gave him 2 opportunities within the 5-yard line. So we'll see when they get down to it. The team's not going to be any good. So let's see how the fans now react after a bad game when it eventually happens. I'm not saying that Dart's going to have a bad game, but short week against the Eagles, what are you expecting? When he has the 135 yards and two fumbles lost and gets sacked 6 times, we can't be going out screaming, he's not the guy. He's not the guy. You can't do that. That's not fair because he was brought out probably earlier than he was planned.
You need a big deal. I always say eight to nine games is a good sample size, I think. 8 to 9 games to start, and then you can start making opinions on a guy. Let him play half of his season. Darn near a game more than half of the season. You know, now with the 17, I keep on thinking it's 16. Well, you get the point. Let him get 8 games under their belt and make a decision after that. I liked his running ability. He needs to learn how to slide, I agree. And he also hit one of the coldest touchdown dances I've seen all year after his rushing touchdown.
Yeah, definitely the team played with some juice behind him. But that offensive line is not very good. And now the receiving room takes a major hit with no Malik Nabers. That team is going to be, he's leading a hobbled offense. So we'll see if he's able to do that because that offense is not good enough to carry him. He is going to have to elevate them. That's what I would be nervous about there. That's our underdog picks.
Yeah, definitely. And you know,
but you know what? You're here. And they wanted to start him over Wilson. Would they have won that game with Wilson? You can make the argument they wouldn't have because the team played a lot better because there was a new face at quarterback. And I think that was really the big reason why the Giants came out firing.
And he made plays like, I know he's got a slide and he took a lot of hits, but he did make some nice plays.
Oh, nice third down conversions.
Wilson's not doing it. Wilson 10 years ago would do that, but not this current version of Russ. And I don't necessarily blame him.
Yeah.
But I was pretty impressed with Dart. It looks like the right move. That's Kyle. I go back to what I said. It's the only move. It was the only move that Daboll and Shane have.
You can say this after a win, but when he gets sacked for the 9th time.
I mean, they're not beating the Eagles.
And then we're going to sit here and say, well, they brought him in behind an offensive line, and he gets bounded, and then he doesn't even last 4 games. That's where I'd get nervous.
One thing I agree with you is they don't have a chance against the Eagles.
Yeah, and they get the Eagles on a short week, too.
And then they play him, what'd you say?
It's next Thursday.
Yep, but they also, they play him again.
2 weeks later.
Yeah, so they play him twice in 3 weeks. I mean, it's a recipe for a disaster, but they had no choice. They couldn't keep Trotting Wilson
keep the kid
out
healthy.
There.
That's the goal. Keep the kid healthy.
Keep him healthy.
That's the thing I'm most nervous about.
Tell him to slide. Now, I know he's kind of got that Josh Allen dog in him, but like, brother.
Josh Allen's a cement truck. He's a cement truck.
Allen's like 6'3", 225, 230. You're not that kid. All right, but I liked it. I liked his guts. We talked to Good Karma Brands president Steve Palazzino earlier in the show, big-time Giant fan, and I asked him, like, dude, this kid's got guts, Uncle Steve.
Yeah, he was
he's
fine.
Got guts.
He played a pretty good game.
Didn't necessarily see that Ole Miss. That's why I was shocked by it.
I mean, yeah, he played a pretty good game. That's what you got to give him credit for. He didn't light the world on fire. He didn't throw the ball over the field. He did not light up the defense, but he moved the football. He offered something with his legs, and the team likes him.
Now, Kyle, another underdog that we picked with our dogs of the week. Weekend, do you got playoff fever with your Jags yet? At 3-1,
no.
I would.
No,
I would at 3-1.
No, because it's context.
In a terrible division,
context.
Yeah, baby.
They were a play away from being 4-0, but I've seen every snap. The offense has a lot of problems and running the football. They're great. They're great at running the football, but passing wise, Lawrence wise, getting the receivers on the same page. There's a lot of issues still there. And once they iron that out, then I could start to buy in a little bit.
And also, the Browns have the pick, so you guys are going to win 10 games.
Well, that would be bad for you.
Exactly. Exactly. And bad for me. That's all I know with that team. Of course you win at 10 games and win in the division.
It's a good trade.
I'm not saying it wasn't, kid, but all I'm saying is, you got the pick. You're going to win 10 games and win that division, right?
Right. And the thing is,
Texans are down. Now, you worry about Indianapolis. You worry about Indianapolis.
They
seem
to be legit. Their back half of the schedule is a lot easier than their front half.
They damn near had that
game.
The
Kansas City game is the game I'm worried about. If they beat Kansas City at home, that's a game they never win. And I said the same thing about the Niner game. That's a game they never win. They never beat Kansas City. If they could beat Kansas City, I'll start to reconsider
things. Okay. All right, fair enough. Mahomes, by the way, 274 touchdowns. He looks back in form after the slow
that's
start
gonna
in the first
game.
3 weeks.
That's
going to
be a tough game.
It will be.
That's going to be Monday Night Football in Jacksonville with probably 25% Chiefs fans in the crowd.
I'm shocked that Mahomes is doing it with the likes of Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, my goodness. Guy threw for 4 different touchdowns.
The bad defense, but yes.
Very much so. But back on track game that they needed. And certainly with the Jags coming up, they're licking their chops. But I don't think this is the same Jags team.
Definitely not. The coaching staff is really good. And the thing about it, their offensive coordinator is 29 years old. Their head coach is 38 years old. Their defensive coordinator is like 36 years old. And their general manager is 34 years old.
And all of a sudden, Lawrence is looking the part, right?
Lawrence is probably he's a little bit of a blemish on the rest of the team.
Okay, fair enough.
So Lawrence has
didn't have
had
an interception, though, right?
He did not have an interception. The thing about Lawrence is he had an interception called back, but right. Their receivers lead the league in drops by about 5 drops.
Oh yeah, Brian Thomas.
He's better game yesterday. But they also lead the NFL in like receiver error, however they measure that. So they have a lot of problems at receiver, and Travis Hunter is still learning. Travis Hunter midseason, it's going to be a different player. Because once he starts to get, he's literally learning, you could see it. He doesn't know where to line up. There's misconceptions on when to move in motion, when not to. It's a complicated offense. You're seeing it.
Do you think they just put him somewhere and end the two-way
thing? I think they're going to give him opportunities both games, every game. At both ways, every game. I think they're going to do that. Now, they're getting a little healthier in the secondary defensively, but when that secondary eventually gets ripped up, and they had a good game yesterday, and the defensive secondary is not that good, once they start getting ripped up, he'll play.
What's he better at, in your opinion, watching
him?
He's
played better at receiver thus far just because he doesn't know the offense fully yet.
I see.
And it's very obvious he doesn't know the offense fully yet.
Yeah, and I was enamored when Jacksonville obviously traded up with my team for that, but it was like, as a Brown fan, I wanted him. You know, I sat there and I said, how the hell aren't you going to take a guy who could be an all-pro at both sides of the ball? And I see we hear the talking heads talk. It's nonetheless, you know, kind of Travis Hunter getting lost in the sauce a little bit. So I was interested to hear your thoughts as a Jags fan.
And even circling back to that trade, I was happy they made the trade, but I admittedly said they paid a heavy toll for that. Mm-hmm. They paid a lot just to go get him. And do I need to see Travis Hunter light the world on fire in the first game, four games? No, because they're winning games without him being a major contributor. Can we imagine when the offense gets in tune, Brian Thomas has the yips, and when Travis Hunter can start getting his legs under him, and then Lawrence plays a little better? That team, the sky could be the limit there, but they haven't shown it yet, which is why they could lose any game on their schedule for the foreseeable future, which is why I get nervous.
Right.
Hold your expectations in check, because it is Jacksonville at the end of the day. That's Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Damian Perez. We'll get into our Monday Night Football best bet on the other side of things and get you into your doubleheader action. You got Jets and the Dolphins, and then you got the Broncos and the Bengals. That is tonight. A lot more to come. It's the fifth quarter presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
The Hard Rock Bet app is available on the App Store, Google Play Store, Apple App Store. Go get started now and get into it, because this is the best time of the year. You had the Ryder Cup over the weekend. You have MLB Wild Card Week this week, the MLB postseason for the next 3.5 weeks. You had NFL, which is in the thick of it, college football in the thick of it. NBA starting in a couple of weeks here. Miami Heat over at training camp down in FAU. So you got a lot to look forward to on that front. And because of that, you could bet on the Hard Rock Bet app now and get $150 in bonus bets if you win your just first $5 bet. You could go check out the Discover page and see what other users are putting together in terms of parlays, in terms of prop bets, in terms of live bets, in terms of see where the stats are on the Stats Hub page, which is on the app. You know why I love Hard Rock Bet? Because it caters to both types of players. If you're a brand new player, you don't necessarily know how to navigate a sports app or a sportsbook app. It kind of caters to you, and it's easy to figure out. Or on the other side of things, if you're the experienced player and you want a lot, you demand a lot out of your sports book, Hard Rock Bet basically has everything you could possibly ask for in terms of leagues, types of bets, parlays, times to bet. They have it all in one spot. Hard Rock Bet, go get it today. It's offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus, physically present in Florida. The wager, terms, conditions apply. Considered by gambling, call 1-888-MINUTE. All right, you got Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez. It's the fifth quarter presented by Hard Rock Bet. We're at the City Play Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. We got two games tonight on the Monday Night Football docket, including the Jets against the Miami Dolphins. We talked about it a little bit in terms of what the game plan is, but I'm curious on your front. We talk about the winner of the game and what they need to do to win. Let's talk about who the loser of this game is going to be and what that means if one side or the other loses. Who do you think would take that bigger brunt of the fall?
I probably, if Miami were to lose, it's them, just because there's more on the line.
I agree with that.
Aaron Glenn isn't getting fired if he has a bad season this year. Mike McDaniel is getting fired if he has a bad season this year. Chris Greer, who's been there for 2 decades.
What happened to the Jets last year could happen to the Miami Dolphins next year if the Miami Dolphins don't figure something out.
Agreed. Now, I also think whoever loses this game is going to be the worst team in the division. How about the Patriots? Back-to-back wins for that team. Drake May? How about Drake May?
And they probably should have won the Pittsburgh game, too. Maybe we were wrong about them.
We'll see. I still think 9.5 was a ridiculous number.
They're not winning
10 games.
But team might win 7-8 games, and that might be okay.
Right. So
I might have been wrong about them. Go ahead.
I don't think New England's the worst team. Whoever loses this game will be the worst team in the division. But to answer your original question, it's Miami. If they lose, they have the most to lose. It's definitely the Dolphins.
Man. Yeah. The one thing I'll say about the Jets is how many good losses can you possibly get?
Right.
And then until the certain point of, oh my gosh, can we finally win one? Can we finally get one in the win column? Does it make that much? Now, at the end of the day, does it make that much of a difference? Because in one hand, you're getting good losses. You know you're playing competitively and you're going to get a good draft pick, which is probably what the Jets want ultimately because they're looking for a quarterback.
Yeah.
But on top of that, I would say that the Jet fan needs to understand what they're looking for coming out of this year. You need to know that you like what you have with the coaching, the coordinators, the general manager. You need to know that you like that stuff, and you need to know that the team is going to play hard for them. And then after that, I think they need to know that they are set up for steps forward in terms of putting together a good roster. Whether offensively, they have two young running backs there. I mean, they have young talent. You're not going to pay all these guys because they're gone through the rookie contracts and the team wasn't any good. Now, they're going to need to figure out, I don't think Fields is any sort of long-term solution, but if Fields can give them, you know, a couple competitive wins, 3, 4, 5 wins, and you feel pretty good about it, weirdly enough, at 5 wins of all things, I think that the Jets would take that. I would take that at being a Jet fan.
And you need
to understand where you're at.
And also, I like playing young quarterbacks, but Kyle, I understand that's not the norm.
And they also don't have somebody. They don't have somebody to play right now.
But here's the thing: if Fields shows you something, and you draft a young quarterback,
you could. Yeah, that's true. You don't
sign Fields.
Yeah, you don't have to play him.
You sign Fields to what? A year, 2 years.
It was a 2-year contract.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm assuming, you know,
he's cheap.
Exactly.
It was like $15 million a year.
I was about to call it like a hometown discount, you know. And if you get good play from Fields, have him come in, start, and have the young kid sit down. Learn and do the whole thing. Do the whole song and dance with the sitting the quarterback.
And
so,
you don't even know. Maybe you're picking in the top three. And maybe you get a guy who's ready to play immediately. And you're expected to play immediately.
Right. I don't know who that. Maybe Mendoza. I don't know.
That's not here.
That's conversations okay. 8 months down the line here, boys and girls. But I like what you said about Glenn, too. How many times
losses can you possibly have before you get a win?
Like, I laugh at it, and I think it's his personality, and it's hysterical, but like Aaron Glenn doing what I called the chicken dance when they blocked the field goal against Tampa Bay.
It's going to get stale at 1-7.
It will be.
That'll be stale at 0-3. There's a little bit of, you know,
Right. They have a good defense.
Pretty tragedy today.
Pretty solid defense. A lot of those guys are under contract. Colin Garrett Wilson's under contract. Breece Hall would probably be one of the guys he'd throw some money at. I'm assuming he's not going to want top dollar money.
The thing is to the point, who do you sign? That's another conversation for another
day.
Sure,
but we agree they're not winning anything this year.
Right, and I think the Jet fans should understand. I know it's been a long time, but there's something about a rebuild that it's not your. People got the wrong idea from what the Commanders did last year. You get the wrong idea that the Commanders were able to bring in a new owner, new general manager, new head coach, new coordinators, and a new quarterback, and for them all to hit at once, to go 6-for-6 in that regard. That doesn't happen all the time. It's not replicable. And because of that, I would say the Jets, if they can walk away from this year knowing that everybody is coming back in terms of front office, your coordinators are not getting plucked, all of that, and then rerunning it back with the same coaching staff that you have confidence in, then that's the time where you're thinking, look out for the Jets. Maybe that AFC East won't be the worst conference. I mean, the worst division in the football again. So maybe that's what you look at.
You build some momentum. It's all about building momentum and steps in the right direction. Do the losses look good on paper? Yes. But in the end of the day,
that's why I think the Jets will win tonight. I think they'll get away.
You think
from
they win tonight?
I think I was about
to ask our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. Dolphins favored by 2.5.
I would take the Jets here.
So Jet money line is +130. It's good odds.
Let's do a little Monday Night Football best bet while we're at it. All right, Monday Night Football tonight on Hard Rock Bet. So we're taking a look at both the games. You got double action tonight. I would take the Jets to win outright +130. We don't have to take it together.
I'm going to go with the Dolphins and the over. I think there's going to be points. I think Justin Fields is playing to prove something. I like what I saw from the Dolphins, Kyle, on Thursday Night Football all those weeks back. You know, the Dolphins had their bye week last week, but with the same time with the Dolphins, Kyle, Jalen Waddle made huge catches on third down. Tyreek Hill finally found the back of the end zone. If they could sniff any sort of run game against a pretty stout defense with the Jets, I like their odds. I'm going to go the home team tonight, Dolphins 2.5 and the over.
Wow, how about that? And I'm looking through the numbers that you could possibly get. Justin Fields to get 200-plus passing yards. 200-plus. It's not asking a whole lot. Plus 145 in the Hard Rock Bet app. So I could put that together on top of the Jets to win. I get plus 400 odds, and I didn't even do anything yet. So if they're going to win, Justin Fields is probably going to pass the ball pretty well.
Correct.
Dolphins have a bad defense. They play well against the Josh Allen and the Bills. But they have a bad secondary. They're coming off a long period of time off. Dare I say they come out a little stale. I like that. That's my little two-the-bet parlay for the first game. What do you think about for the second game? Unless you have something else in the previous one.
No, I just wanted to correct myself. The Dolphins haven't played a game in about 11 days. Right. They didn't have a bye week. They played last Thursday.
A pseudo bye week, but yes.
Correct. So as far as Cincinnati and Denver.
They're plus 350 to win the game, Cincinnati
Colin,
is.
That is a ridiculous
outright to win.
I'm very angry at the Bengals and being on the wrong end of that game last week. I mean, the only pick tonight is the Broncos at 7.5. That's the only pick.
That's the only pick.
Man. Yeah. I even lean under.
This could be 31-7, so you can't make I'm not rooting for the under, not at 44. It could be something crazy.
I lean Broncos like 28-10. That's probably my score.
I'm not betting an under. Not again. I'm not betting on it. You could bet the under. I'm betting the under.
I'm betting Broncos 7.5 in the under. I am, though, as I've mentioned, betting the over and the Dolphin. So I like the two favorites and the over in the Dolphin and Jet game and the under in the Broncos and Bengal game. That godforsaken Bengal team with Jake Browning is not doing anything of substance on offense. Now, maybe Ja'Marr Chase has a big game, but I remind you, Patrick Surtain II is going to be shadowing him.
And he's the one who succeeds a lot against Ja'Marr.
That's a rivalry that goes back to when he was with Alabama, Surtain, and Chase with LSU. Going to be a fun matchup on the outside tonight.
That's a plus 855 three-bet parlay if you get the Broncos to cover minus 7.5, the Jets to win outright, and then Justin Fields to get 200 yards passing. I'm not asking you to cure cancer. 200 yards passing.
He'll get it.
It's possible.
He'll get it.
That's Mike Rizzo. That's Damian Perez. Appreciate Damian for keeping us up over the air today. If you missed any of the show, listen back on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Just go to Russo and Rizzo. We'll be back at it tomorrow with some more action, some MLB playoff preview and reactionary stuff. Should be a whole lot of fun. Stay happy, stay healthy, stay focused. ESPN 106.3.